different. Indeed, you feel something, you feel contact with something outside the modes of material nature, outside of the mode of goodness. As you make further progress in bhakti, then, through your service, attitude, and anxiousness and eagerness to hear about Krishna develops. That is the difference between someone who's making advancement and someone who's not. Materialists have no ears to hear about the Lord. But they're very eager to hear about the qualities, forms, qualities of everything mundane. You see, you must have eagerness for something. So it's not that because they lack eagerness to hear about Krishna, they're not eager. No, they're very keen for so many things. This is pointed out by Shukadeva Goswami. Shotavya Dini Rajendra Ninam Shanti Sahasratam Apashyatam Atmatattvam Grihesu Grihamedina. Those who are Grihamedis, who are simply dedicated to the maintenance of their body and their bodily enclave, they have many thousands of topics we're talking about. Because they are blind to the absolute truth. Once you're blind to Atmatattva, the science of self-realization, then your eyes open up to many thousands of unnecessary things. This is the way it works. When your eyes are open to Atmatattva, then you're blind to material foolish topics. And when your eyes are open to material topics, you're blind to Atmatattva. So there's always going to be this disagreement between transcendentalists and the others. There's nothing you can do about it. You can be cordial about it, and we try to be cordial about it. You can be discreet about it, and we try to be discreet about it. But ultimately, there is this canyon. Because one side of the divine thinks we are the body, the other side of the divine knows we are spirit soul. One side of the divine thinks, life is meant to be frittered away in your fancy-free lifestyle. And the other side of the divine says, no, life is meant to be lived for the pleasure of the supreme personality. So ultimately, these two sides can't get along. And it's been like that, the Vedic teacher tells us, since the beginning of creation. Not a new thing. Now, this problem goes back to the beginning, billions of years ago. This is a universal or cosmic problem since the beginning of time. Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, there are two types of entities in this world, divine and demoniac. Those who are divine, they are dedicated to following the injunctions, the laws of the Lord. And those who are demoniac, they couldn't care less. Now it's true. Persons in the demoniac category may not be actively fomenting such a position of rebellion. But because they're under the sway of demoniac leaders, they become influenced. You have to be eager about something. The result of purification through Krishna's service is you become eager to hear about Krishna. It may sound impossible to you. How? These sages of Nandasaranya, they are so keen to hear about Krishna, they can, as Prabhupada writes here, therefore they can continue the topics for many thousands of years? What is this? In such discourses, unlimited transcendental pleasure is relished by both the audience and by the speaker. Unlimited transcendental pleasure? You might say, why don't we feel that? Well, the situation of being unattractive to Krishna's glory, that's an artificial condition. It means bad health. It's like, she's coughing, so you can see. The health is not perfect. The cough is symptomatic. Something wrong with the body. Similarly, our unattraction to Krishna's glories, that is symptomatic of a disease. So someone who's serious about their spiritual life, they want to take care of that disease. You can actually judge It's a good barometer, you know, about your spiritual health if you watch your eagerness to hear about Krishna. Just like she can tell by her coughing. Yes. You have to watch it. Or when you're run down with the flu, then you have to be careful. Yes. Take some medication or take enough rest. So you can judge about your spiritual life by keeping track of your eagerness to hear about Krishna. You may have noticed that when you start to become slack in your spiritual life, then your hearing and chanting usually goes. You just don't feel like hearing about Krishna. You just don't feel like chanting Krishna's name properly. So that is the sign of some infection coming. And at that point, you can easily deal with it. I'm losing my taste for regular hearing and chanting. I'm losing the desire of getting on the mundane platform. Then immediately, you recharge your batteries. It is a hard thing to separate the so-called practical affairs of devotional service from hearing and chanting. We say that in terms of speech, practical duties, and then the hearing and chanting. Actually, they're all practical duties, the hearing and chanting, and the activities we do in spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission. They're all practical activities. All devotional service is one. It's not that the hearing and chanting is different from the cleaning or the book distribution or the cooking. But although it's one, you have to be guided by oneness. So you can't say that, well, it's all devotional service, therefore I'll just clean and I won't chant. Or I'll just chant and I won't clean. No. There's a particular way to approach this oneness of bhakti. And we have to be guided that way, otherwise we can make a mistake. There's a process for everything. And every process requires guidance. Then you'll get the result. Otherwise, don't wonder why the result's not there. What is the result that you should see? You should perceive eagerness to hear about Krishna and a disinclination for honoring material desires. Those are the two things you should always watch for. Disinclination to honor material desires. Now, just because you have material desires doesn't mean you don't have to go jump off a building or something. That's part of living in the material world. Just like you're living in Wellington and you don't freak out every time, you know, it sprinkles some rain or some clouds are in the sky. You just know that's the way it is here. Similarly, you have to know what it means to have a body. Body means it's composed of material desires. Your body is the embodiment of desire. So you have to learn to tolerate your body. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, Madhana Sparsha Kostaya, Shitoshita Supadukada. Winter comes and goes, summer comes and goes. Similarly, the things of this body come and go. Be able to note that if your intensity of devotional service is enough, you should easily be able to note the passing, the coming and going of material things. Just like, you can give a practical example. In the course of our affairs here at the loft, sometimes you may develop some infatuation. Remember the opposite thing. Just because, you know, everyone's doing things in the same way. So one minute you're thinking, oh, maybe this is something. And then 2 weeks later you're thinking, oh, no. That's probably going to go in material nature. It's the mind. One week you're noticing someone's divine qualities. Oh, yes. Next week, have you watched them more? Yeah. This is the coming and going of material nature. It's like that with everything. Therefore, bhakti is based on sadhana. That means duty. Whether you feel like it or not, you do what's necessary to purify yourself, whether you feel like it or not. As soon as you base bhakti on what you feel like, it's a big mistake. So an understandable mistake. And we don't want to decapitate persons who can only practice Krishna consciousness according to how they feel. No. It's a place for everybody. But there has to be some who uphold the standard that regardless of how I feel, I'm doing my duty to satisfy Krishna. Otherwise, if everything gets overrun by neophyte devotees who simply want to do service according to how they feel and when they feel, then things become very overrun with needs very quickly. But we have to expect there are going to be quite a few persons who come to Krishna consciousness who are on the karma yoga platform. That means, I want to do what I want to do, but I'll give some of the fruits to Krishna. I want to do what I feel when I feel like it, but some or other I want the end results to wind up for Krishna. That's all right. If they stick around strong devotees and they hear submissively, gradually they'll become purified. But there have to be strong devotees to keep the process of purification turning. Strong devotee means one who understands bhakti is a therapeutic technique in the beginning until you get to the liberated stage, and then it's activities in perfection. So when you're undergoing medical treatment, how many of you have said, oh, I don't feel like taking my medicine today? No. You know that if you're going to be cured, you have to take your medicine. Similarly, if you approach bhakti like that, you'll make great advancement. But if you get hung up in your own mind, what do I feel like feeling? What do I not feel like feeling? Yeah. Because your service is in contact with Krishna, there will be benefit, of course. But it is not like the benefit achieved by someone who is all the time thinking, well, regardless of how I feel, what's the best thing for Krishna's service? That's the most purifying way to act. And such devotees can benefit others. We have to constantly analyze our behavior. How is Krishna getting benefit from the way I'm acting? From the way I'm proposing to act, how is Krishna getting benefit? With that kind of attitude, and through constant engagement in Krishna's service, eagerness to hear about Krishna develops. Today is Govardhan Puja, what we'll be celebrating tomorrow. It's glorification of Krishna's pastimes. We should be eager to understand the glories of Krishna's display of lifting Govardhan Hill. What does it mean? And this month we are celebrating Kartik. Therefore we sing the Dhammarashtra prayers when we sing. Everyone's doing it every morning. We've been doing it every month. So, what about these Dhammarashtra prayers? Dhammarashtra. Eight prayers, a stick of prayers and glorification of Lord. You can read about Dhammadhar Leela in the Krishna book. These prayers, they're composed by Satyavrata Muni. Actually, Sanatana Goswami points out that they are eternal prayers manifest through the mouth of Satyavrata Muni, according to the Kumbhakaran. He spoke them in a conversation with Narada Muni and some of the Kumaras. These prayers, as you've noticed, they're so lovable because the philosophical conclusions they present are so deep, and the brilliance of the language and the poetic majesty is so wonderful. You don't even have to know Sanskrit to be attracted to the beauty of the language, the rhythm, the rhyme. So in these prayers, various excellences of Krishna are described. How are you going to aspire to become free of material desires and duty conscious in devotional service unless you're attracted to something? You want to sacrifice for someone. And that someone you're sacrificing has qualities that inspire you. So what are the qualities? Various types of excellences in Damodar Leela, Krishna's pastimes as Lord Damodar. Namamishvaram Satchidananda Rupa. First, you offer your obeisances to Krishna as the controller. Don't make any mistake. He's playing like a little boy stealing butter, but he's the Ishwar. He's the controller of everything, the master of all potencies. So just so you don't make the mistake of thinking Krishna's an ordinary person, that first line of the prayers is letting you know. Namamishvaram Satchidananda Rupa. You're dealing with Ishwar, the controller of everything. What more truth is there about this Ishwar? Satchidananda Rupa. He has a body composed of what? Eternity molecules. Those are his bodily components. We know nothing about the affairs of those kinds of bodies. We very much relish the affairs of our own body. Know nothing about the affairs of such an undivine bodies composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. But in bhakti, we do not decry bodies per se. No, we're just not interested in placing so much attention on material bodies. But there is spiritual body. We actually only attach so much value to this body of matter because it houses the spiritual body. When you hear about Krishna, you are hearing about the affairs of the unlimited spiritual body. We have a limited spiritual body. Namamishvaram Satchidananda Rupa. Masa Kundalam Gokule Vrajanam. Then you begin to hear about the beauty of Krishna's form. Masa Kunda. He's got shark-shaped earrings that are glittering on his cheeks. Now there's no matter on Krishna. Everything is pure spirit. So the earrings, they're also personal. So they have good fortune. What is the good fortune of the earrings hanging from Krishna's ears? They're kissing Krishna's cheeks. As Krishna moves his head, the earrings kiss his cheeks. These earrings, they are wonderfully effulgent. But why? Is it that the effulgence of Krishna's earrings makes Krishna brighter? No. You're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is actually Krishna who is the ornament of the ornaments that he wears. Now try to understand that. We've explained before. Like ladies, you know, you put on ornaments to make yourself look more pretty, right? Why do you have your diamonds? Are they real diamonds? Fake, yeah. I thought they were diamonds. Those things you wear. I don't look close enough. Crystal. You age crystal. So, you put them on, right? Because this will improve my attractiveness, right? Yeah? Well, I wouldn't go through all the labor to buy them. I can't wear them, right? You put them on because... So that way you're hoping the ornaments, they will add value, add beauty to you. What is it about Krishna? Does he need ornaments to make him look beautiful? No. He's self-sufficient. So why then does Krishna wear ornaments? Well, whatever Krishna does is for his own pleasure. And what do the ornaments do for Krishna? They get beauty from Krishna. It's not that they improve upon Krishna. No. Krishna improves upon the ornaments. Stated in the third canto of Bhagavatam. Param param bhushana bhushanaya. Krishna's beauty is so extraordinary that he himself is captivated by his own beauty. He's astonished by his own beauty. That's right. Look in the mirror and see if you become astonished by your own beauty. I think I told you before how I heard one famous Hollywood actor. He told the news media, I would date myself. Okay. He didn't say that now. And even if you give him credit for making a true statement now, will he be able to say it in just 10, 15, 20 years? You said before, have you ever seen pictures of movie stars when they're old compared to when they were young? He's bound up by time. His body is decaying. Yet, I would take myself. I'm so attractive. Krishna doesn't have to worry about time. Time is Krishna's potency. Therefore, Krishna, he has the perfect right to be astonished by his own beauty. And the earrings that Krishna wears, they are made more effulgent because they're near Krishna's body. So Krishna is the ornament of his ornaments. Like, my dear, can't say that. By putting on these earrings, I'm making the earrings more beautiful. I'm the ornament of these ornaments. You can't say that. No, you're hoping the ornaments, they'll bring to me something I'm missing. They'll make my mood feel better, and they'll add attractiveness to me. Krishna, he's not like that. He's self-sufficient. He's not lacking in anything. Sometimes we think that we're doing devotional service because Krishna is lacking our efforts. And then we get puffed up, and we make a mess of everything. We start being offensive to our fellow devotees, treating them like pieces of wood, become arrogant. This is because we think, I'm doing such important service, Krishna needs me, I'm fulfilling a lack in Krishna. So if you think like that, then down you go. Lata Kundalam Gokule Brajamar. Some of you heard about the excellence of the truth about Krishna. He's the controller. You've heard about the truth of his body. Then you're hearing about his beauty, the beauty of his form. And then his home, his family. Family affairs are very attractive. Lata Kundalam Gokule Brajamar. In Braja, in Vrindavan, Krishna displays intimacy. His excellence of intimate affairs amongst his family and friends. In his private neighborhood. And then, what does he do? His leela, his activities are so attractive. Yashoda Vyodukala Dabamani. Mother Yasoda is chasing him with a stick. Krishna, he climbed up on the grinding mortar. And he was reaching yogurt that was hung from the ceiling. And he was taking the yogurt and distributing it to the monkeys. But meanwhile, he's looking here and there. It's my mother. Can I catch me? He's a supreme personality, got it, but he's having fun being mischievous. Feeling the ecstasy of the possibility of being detected. His mother is sort of coming. And indeed, Mother Yasoda was coming with a stick in her hand. She was trying to sneak up on Krishna and apprehend him. But Krishna saw her, and he jumped off the grinding mortar and began to run. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. Yet he's running from his devotee. So Mother Yasoda is chasing him. Chasing Krishna, who cannot be caught by the greatest mystic yogis, the greatest gyanis, metaphysical scholars. They can't catch Krishna. Or here is Mother Yasoda chasing him, the flower petals falling from her hair, her beautiful form, chasing after Krishna, who's running away. And then you see the excellence of affection. First, you're attracted to the activity, the leela. She's chasing Krishna. How can she catch him? How does she catch him? Next, you see the excellence of sneha, affection. Paramishtam achan todrutjagopya. She catches Krishna from behind, apprehending him from behind. Krishna, because of her love, allows her to do that. Then she thinks, I have to teach him a lesson. Krishna knows she's got the stick in her hand. She's got Krishna in one hand, the stick in the other. She's ready to chastise him. So what does Krishna do then? Rudam tum mohor nature. Yirvam rudam tum. Kala bojajam vena sattam nature. Krishna! He knows just what to do. Mother got a stick, she's ready to chastise me. It's time for me to make a supreme show of paranoia and fear. Then she won't chastise me. She'll see how afraid I am. And she'll drop her stick. So he's crying. He's rubbing his eyes again and again. Shaking in fear. So much so that his pearl necklaces around his neck are shaking. He's trembling, breathing quickly. The mascara is running off of his eyes. He's making a whole scene. So I'm going to have such a way that she's not going to chastise me. And it worked. Whatever Krishna does, he's the supreme expert at it. So Mother's going to look at him, you know, little baby child, going through all this. If he's not good, if this child is afraid of him, it's not good. So she put down the stick. Then she thought, all right, I have to do something, though. He can't play with his mates. He's on punishment. He has to keep him out of trouble, so I'm going to bind him to something. So she got a rope. And perfectly normal operation. You get a rope, you put it around the waist of the naughty child, and you tie it to something. What could be the problem with that? But she noticed each time that the rope, she noticed that the rope was 2 fingers short. The first time she noticed that. Oh, well, strange. She got another piece of rope and hooked it to the first rope. And again, trying to circle Krishna with the rope and bind him to something. And again she noticed this new rope was 2 fingers short. She got another piece of rope and added it to... And still, when she augmented the rope, when she added another section of rope to it and tried to circle Krishna, still 2 fingers short. This way she went and got all the ropes in her house and made a long rope. And then, once again, tried to circle Krishna. And again, the end of the rope were 2 fingers short. So Krishna's enjoying all this. Just seeing my mom. She's trying to bind everything with everything in Krishna's energy. Although Krishna is there as a baby boy, he's still the sum total of everything. So he's demonstrating to his mother and to the world, don't ever think that I'm ordinary. Abhijananti mam mudha, Krishna says, maybe you're fools. They think I'm ordinary. They deride me when I come, looking like a human being. They don't know my supreme dominion over everything. So he demonstrated that. He was having fun with Mother Jasoda. She's working hard, perspiration, trying to bind her son with complete pure love. I've got to bind him. I've got to protect him. If I don't train him, who will? Snorty boy. Binding, getting the ropes. Can't bind, though. The ropes are always too short. So then Krishna notices she's getting fatigued, and he's so touched and impressed. Actually, he's captured by Mother Yasoda's devotion. So because of her devotion, he finally allows her to bind him, because of her devotion. This same Krishna who cannot be captured through karma, jnana, yoga, he's captured by Mother Yasoda's devotion. So the devotees pray, may this vision of Mother Yasoda and Bal Gopal, Krishna, as a baby, may it ever remain in my heart. Krishna knows exactly what to do, as we explained before. He knows how to be the most attractive lover. He knows how to be the most attractive baby. He knows how to be the most attractive friend. In every way, Krishna unlimitedly excels. His Godhead does not depend on growing up. Therefore, whether Krishna's Bal Gopal as a baby or as a young man, same potency there. This is what all the demons found out when they tried to kill Krishna when he was a baby. Same potency in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. It doesn't depend on what phase Krishna seems to be in. Krishna goes through these various phases of seemingly growing up for the pleasure of his devotees. But there's no diminishment ever in any phase. There are just different beauties, different excellences associated with every stage of Krishna and his so-called development. The devotees, they're eager, and they just want that vantage of seeing the form of the Lord as Pala Gopala. They just want to meditate on that pastime of Mother Yasoda binding Krishna. They don't want any other benediction, not even Vaikuntha, not liberation of the impersonal Brahman, Balam Deva Moksham, the Moksha of it in Bhagavad. Nasanyam Brayam, Parasha of it in Bhagavad. I don't want any kind of benediction. No material benediction. I don't even want liberation from material existence. I don't even want to go to Vaikuntha, preside over by Lord Narayan. What do I want? Idam Devapur Nata Gopala Bala. May this Bala Gopala, Krishna as a baby, may that form, oh Lord, give me the benediction. May that form be ever impressed upon you. Marasya Virastam. Now, Sarane Mayas is another one. Two that are about modest like the mind. Himanyai. What is the use of any other benediction? I don't want anything else. May this form, Sara, always let this form of Bhava Bhava be in my heart. This is eagerness. How to get this eagerness? Just like the sages of Naimastranya are demonstrating. Please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord, which are above all material conception. We are anxious to receive such messages. Through your service, you'll become anxious to hear about Krishna. As stated in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Tataruchi, Sjamahasevayavipra, when there's Mahatseva, when the service to Krishna's devotee, then you develop Vasudeva Katharuchi, you develop the ruchi, the taste for hearing about Lord Vasudeva, Lord Krishna. So it's all interlinked, hearing and chanting and our practical duties. Part of our practical duties is how we treat other devotees. If we become arrogant, if we become callous with devotees, this is a sure sign that there's some spiritual problem with us. If we start treating devotees like they're just pieces of wood, they're here every day. I've been with her for 5 years now. I've been in this band now with these guys for 2 months. We start treating them like pieces of blocks of wood. You even use the word Prabhu, which means master. Prabhu! Prabhu! You're saying Prabhu, master, but you're saying like you're the master. Prabhu! What is the point of that? You have to be very careful amidst devotees. You have to treat them very carefully. If you're going to err, make a mistake, it's better to err on the side of being too respectful than to be arrogant. Mistreatment of devotees indicates that you have something wrong within you. So we never want to make Krishna consciousness as an excuse for venting our internal madness upon others. That's very bad. Be very careful in dealing with devotees. Familiarity is easy to creep in, especially living together. Same old people all the time. Same old tricks. When will that day come when I'm really glorified and I'm really made the center of all attention? No, it's very purifying living with devotees. Each devotee is so unique, you get to see things from so many different angles. So we don't want to torture other devotees because they're different. We want to relish their difference in Krishna's service. The main thing is all the different entities are serving Krishna. So in that way, they're one. Although within that oneness, there is variety. So those who are serious about serving Krishna in an authentic way, they deal with devotees very carefully. Never treat them like they're just chips of wood. And those who are intent on remaining neophytes and nurturing the bad things in the heart, they'll just be very callous in terms of their dealings. They'll be very proud and arrogant. Please remember, what we have here is a course in God realization. That is an actual fact, and you can perceive it, but you need to execute the technique properly. If you want to understand Krishna, then take your service very seriously. Through thick and thin, fair weather devotees, yes, they'll get some credit, but Krishna is actually pleased by the all-weather devotees. Just like everyone knows in Wellington, surviving in Wellington, Gore-Tex jackets. The best. Keeps the wind and rain off of you. Other jackets, they're all right, but still everyone knows, you get a Gore-Tex jacket. You just walk out the door in anything you feel. On top of it all. Similarly, there's a big difference between fair-weather devotees and all-weather devotees. So we'd like to have at least a few all-weather devotees. We're not foolish in thinking everyone's going to become an all-weather devotee. But actually, the fair-weather devotees become inspired by the all-weather devotees. So without some wanting to be all-weather devotees, everything just fades. Please remember that we are trying to develop this eagerness to hear and serve Krishna, to get out of the lethargic condition of material life, material aspirations. This is your individual choice. No one can make it for you. You have to decide to do this. You have to decide you need to become purified. You have to try to understand from all different angles how you are Krishna's part and parcel, and you are meant to render service to Krishna. Those who take devotional service seriously, they can understand Krishna. So it's not that we're just doing duties because we have to keep ourselves busy. Now, it's true that if you're not busy in one way, you'll be busy in another. But the point is, we are specifically doing activities that give pleasure to Krishna. And we'll be able to understand Krishna better by doing that. We'll be able to show eagerness hearing about Krishna. How it is that just by sitting down and hearing about Krishna you can feel unlimited pleasure that can go on for many thousands of years? Is this so? Or is this just fairy tales? This is the unique thing about Krishna consciousness. Have you ever gone to any church where the priest or minister, what do you call it? Priest or minister? When a priest or a minister, you know, is telling the congregation, the topics that we are discussing here are so nectarian, we can go on speaking about them for thousands of years. Now, the priest and ministers don't think that. Therefore, the people have no conception that hearing about Krishna can be, in the perpetual stage, so attractive you can go on hearing about Krishna for thousands of years. So the Bhagavatam is setting you straight. It's letting you know what the standard is, what you have to work towards. Okay, you might be far from the standard, but at least you know what the standard is and where to move towards. But have pity, have compassion on these people who have not the slightest idea what the standard is. Okay, we did a 40 minutes hearing, you know, about God. Now, Sunday afternoon, let's get out of here. Neither the minister nor the congregation has any idea of the potency of discussion about God. Therefore, they leave themselves wide open to be submerged in discussion of so many hundreds and thousands of unnecessary topics. I'm sure you all are finding out now, you don't have unlimited time. Days are so short. You'd love to add a few more hours to the day. That's good. Now become expert at using every moment in the best way for Krishna's pleasure. Be very thankful to Krishna that you have service that keeps you busy, service that absorbs you. And you will feel the decrease in material desires. You will feel increasing attraction for Krishna. Bhakti Yoga is mystical like that. You will taste yourself what's going on. Well, before I was like this, now I'm like that. And also, if there's some slackness, identifying you in the preliminary stages of love of Krishna. Preliminary stages. Therefore, duty is so important. Never mind what you feel. From that stage, your real feelings become known to you again. So don't become captivated by your temporary feelings of body and mind you have now. Don't take them that seriously. Now, just because we're not the body and the mind doesn't mean you can beat up on other devotees. Kahu! Don't be mad, you're not the body and mind. We don't take ourselves so seriously, but we do take others seriously. Oh, Sukha Goswami, you are learned and pure devotee of the Lord, because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord, which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages. Any questions?
I was wondering why the lady should go to this channel of having always a debate. I think it's funny, it's just kind of passion for it. And then it's not that the right understanding of what it means.
It means you're taking your frustrations out on others. Harshness comes from unfulfilled material desires. You take it out on others. So you have to look in yourself and see what those unfulfilled desires are. Analyze them. You have to start pulling some weeds in your garden. The harshness that comes from unfulfilled desires. You take it out on your fellow devotees. They're the closest around you. So you can't stand the way you do such and such a thing. Everybody's got their idiosyncrasies, right? And when you're in a bad mood, you can't stand when your idiosyncrasies are violated. So, in those kind of situations, with your unfulfilled desires, you become harsh. How many times have I told you that I don't want my things put in this corner? When are you going to get self-realized and understand? Everybody's got their quirks, right? Especially living in the ashram, living in the van, those quirks can really become magnified. Unwieldy, and you can't see what the map is because it's folded the wrong way. You want to read where is the map on the road, and they're all folded the wrong way. You have to And they're already perpetually creased by the manufacturer in such a way they fold the right way. But if it folds the wrong way, you know, it just, you know, contradicts the whole. It's not the Dharma. There's an example. If you wanted to vent your material desires, that was a good situation.
I'm allowing it, and I tell you, all the maps were all living.
And you use that as a chance to vent your, all your frustrations. All while saying Prabhu.
Prabhu!
No one knows the word means master, yeah. So we don't want to mix abuse of others into bhakti. That's a very dangerous thing. So you need to become abusive of others, and Krishna gets rid of you. Must be very careful, very gentle. I very gently said to the cool. Perhaps again, more than actually right away. Inattentive when dealing with Krishna's things, because they're all Krishna's. And you notice as soon as you start doing that, it starts to add up. So it's best to be very tidy about things, keeping the consciousness belonging to Krishna. And many times the ladies complain that, whatever little contact they have with the brahmachari, they notice that they're just so spaced out, they don't care. I mean, I throw something here, throw something there, or do this and that. What little we have, we want to use carefully in Krishna's service, and Krishna will give us more. Remember, almost 2 years ago, when Will first came to the walk here, the devotees had gone to Christchurch, and so there was some brahmacharis staying here. And someone broke in one night because the back door was open. So we found out Will, he was the culprit, left the back door open. So, why did you open the back door then? So I have a look around. So the ladies are very angry. Ah, he's not a guy. You know, someone stole the blender and sent him another guitar like that. Just from somebody. Let's have a look at that. Because I love this one. It's good to be fastidious in Krishna's service. It's a good discipline. Not that, well, it's all Krishna's, therefore I don't care. It's a sacrifice. Because those who know how to take care of things, they know, for myself, I take care of things very carefully. So you have to deal with Krishna in the same way. Why should Krishna get less than what you would do for yourself? So if you're really extra being selfish, then you should know how to treat Krishna. Look and see how you're being selfish, and know that belongs to Krishna. Someone who serves Krishna is the expert in self-interest. So look and see what you would do for yourself, how you would treat yourself, and then treat Krishna that way. You don't need devotees to crucify themselves because they're selfish or they've been raised in a selfish way. No. Look and see how you're being selfish, how you like things for yourself, and treat Krishna in that way. I want the best for myself. Everything has to be exquisite. Well, then give the most exquisite things to Krishna. I'd like to deliberate about everything for myself.
Okay.
Deliberate about Krishna's service. Take all those qualities and apply them to Krishna's service. Bhakti is not about, you know, like crucifying yourself and destroying your psyche. No, it's about purifying yourself by using what you have for Krishna's service. You want to be liberated? Fair enough, great. Liberate Krishna's service. It would be better to serve Krishna this way that way. You want to be selfish? Okay. See what you like? How carefully you care for yourself? Then use that to care for Krishna. Krishna goes out to the spiritual world.